is our prayer, Father. We want the real thing. We're not joking. We're not wasting time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name have we worshipped. Can we give God a shout of praise? With that same joy, can you welcome someone to your left and to your right? Can you tell the person, I'm happy to see you today? It's a great, 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 great pleasure. Hallelujah. You may have your seat in God's presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good morning again to everyone. I hope we're all doing fine. How's our families? Our acquaintances, our associates. I hope everything is fine. So this morning, I was asking myself if what I want to teach now should be first service or second service. But God told me, teach it first service, and the message in the second service will come in the first service. So then also, we've been looking at a series before now, and early this morning, the Lord took my heart back to that series, and how many of you remembered when I said there was a part of a series that they had not brought, that I'll keep saying it until you. And the after where I kept quiet, I'm like, well, let me move. The Bible is rich, you get. So that I'm not looking for what's not what lost. You can keep teaching God is love forever. You don't need to look for what is not lost. So I actually had intention to teach something else. And then while I was waiting on the Lord to teach that something else, I saw everybody's face and I smiled. I'm like, what's it going on? Yeah. So we'll be looking at living an effective life, the life of prayer. Don't clap. Don't always be moved by it. Let's go. Let's go first. Let's journey. We don't know whether we'll cry. We don't know whether we'll smile. You know, we don't know what the journey looks like yet. So can we give God praise? But before now, we know that if you haven't, or maybe you were not part of the series, I like the storehouse. I didn't even see when I came in. That's actually a very beautiful banner. Please ensure you are part of the storehouse project. It's outside there. Probably most people didn't even see it, the way some people turned back. Maybe we should move it a little bit outside. Or maybe it was not there when I came. It wasn't there, okay. Yeah, or maybe when most people also came, it wasn't there. But that's actually a beautiful banner to remind us of the Stores project. I'm sure you are a part of this, right? Yes, hallelujah. Amen. So if you remember that when we started the Living an Effective Life series, I will call it, we looked at two major aspect of how to live an effective life. We looked at the life of faith. That is a life that is powered by that which is revealed. So you are not living your life just by how you feel or how the events around you inspire you to move, but you're living from what God is revealing in your heart. God is saying, be like this, and then you are shaping yourself, ordering your life to be that which God is revealing in your heart. That is actually a powerful way to live. Living by faith. We also looked at the life of pruning, you know, where we said to be effective, God will require that, one, we are fruitful and we remain, but most importantly, we are pruned so that we can bring more, what? Fruit. So that would be effective if that is happening to us, if we are looking sharp all the time, meaning we have the capacity to produce at the level that God wants us to produce. And we know the challenge is always other things get added to us that slow down our ability to, you know, produce at the rate that God expects us to. And so a child of God must expect to be pruned. And pruning is not punishment, you remember? It's not punishment. If God is not pruning you, two things can be happening. It's either you are not producing fruit, so there's no need to be pruned, or you are not part of the vineyard at all. At some point in time, they had cut you out. They had gathered you with other shameful branches, and they are probably preparing such a branch to be burnt. Hallelujah. And so today we'll be looking at the life of prayer. Let's go to James chapter 5. Father, we thank you. We are grateful for everything you do for us as regards your word. And even at this time, we are also grateful because we know that understanding will come to every heart here. The Holy Spirit, you will do the best job you do, which is to convict hearts and to guide us into all truth. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. From verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him do what? Pray. I want us to be sharp this morning, huh? Is anyone cheerful? Let him do what? Sing psalms. Glory to God. So he says, is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this looks like a template to resolving issues. He says, is anyone sick among you? He says, let him call for the elders. Can you walk to 13? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So if you find yourself in any of this position or situation, Bible is saying this is what you should do. So if you are doing any other thing other than this, you may not get the result that is at the end of this this subject. I think verse 18. Let's move on. 14. Is there anyone among you sick? So he says, when anybody is sick, let's even imagine maybe the person has, you know, you've prayed for yourself. You've said, God, heal me, take away the sickness. He says, I assure you that there's a thing you can do. You know, the Bible is a book of what to do. You know, that's why we are all encouraged to use the Bible, to take principles out of the Bible to live our lives. Because in it is the wisdom to do life, right? So he says, if anybody among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. So it's your right to call for the elders of the church. Like it's your right. You are not to pay to call for, the, you know, it's not like you pay protocol. The protocol, please, let me arrange the elders. You get a protocol to go and look for a sweet smelling servo coupled in partnership with welfare. Do you get? No. He says, you have the right to call for the elders. Now, this is as long as you are part of that church. You know, you can't go and call an elder that is not your elder. Do you get? So it's your own elder. If I wanted to read this to myself, I would say, I can call my elder. Let him call his elders. Because they're expecting this person to be in a church as well. Then the commandment to the elders is, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So for the one that is sick, there is something to do. For the elder, there is something to do. We'll all see the result in 18. If anybody is suffering, let him pray. If anyone finds himself, him or herself, in a place of being cheerful, let him sing psalms. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. So if an elder is getting angry that he's getting called, tomorrow, just show the elder the scripture. The elder, God is laying the scripture on my heart. Yeah. So the elder too must know, maybe you are calling your unit head, you know, and the unit head has put you on. Do not disturb. Verse 15. Now, the two places where we saw pray, suffering and sick, he says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, you can look at this from two ways. It could be that this sickness came via the route of sin. And it could be that this is an affliction of the devil. So he says, if there's now an occasion for maybe there was sin, his sin will be forgiven. At times when you see some type of sickness, you can inquire. I won't say you should inquire. I say you can inquire. If the Lord impresses on you, what did you do wrong? Yeah, because the inroad could be, maybe the person broke the edge. Maybe the person at some point in time was on Facebook just yapping all the churches. Yeah. And then there's a plague that, you know, came upon, you know, those that were yapping the churches. So you might need to ask, what did you say? What did you say that you should not have what said? And if the person admits, no, I was wrong, blah, 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 the elder should pray for him. As much as the sickness will be removed, the reason for the sickness would also be forgiven. So that's why. So when you see something is effective, it's able to deal with everything. So if the prayer came upon the person and it's just the sickness, this is just an affliction of the enemy, or it was a case of who committed a sin? Jesus says, no one. Is it his father? Is it his uncle? Is it his brother? No, no one. He says, this happened so that the work of God can be made manifest. So that we can put devil to shame. That's why this one happened. So that God can take all the glory. So if that's the case, yeah, the prayer will be effective. Meaning it will deal with the works of Satan. And God will receive the glory. But if it's one that happened because of sin, the sickness will be dealt with. And the sin will be forgiven. Now, if you deal with the sickness and you know this came via the route of sin, a sickness stronger than the one that left will come back. Because the one that attracts the sickness is still there, the sin or the sins. Hallelujah. So, for example, if somebody caught HIV because the person was promiscuous, we would deal with the two. We would take your HIV away, and we would want you to know that your sinful ways is what landed you there. That should be obvious, but some people don't know. And that can be forgiven. Verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails what? avails much. Actually, 16b is my anchor scripture here. Verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. KJV will say Elijah was a man of what? Like passion. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit, or its fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's from verse 13 that to 18 that we should have as our reference scripture. But my main anchor scripture is verse 16b. Can you go back to 16? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, can we read this B part together? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Can you put this in NLT? Just this verse 16. Then from NLT, just go to Amplified. Then from Amplified, go to TPT. So the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces what? Wonderful results. How many of you like wonderful results? Boshe wiko maje. Yeah, that's a wonderful result. As you have said it, so it is. The heartfelt and persistent prayer. So this one is saying, don't even, of a believer, of a righteous man, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and what? Can have tremendous power. So you can see that a man that is not praying has lost a lot of advantage. Thank you. Can we read the TPT version, the last one? I like that. It says you release something. You release something. You don't leave the space the same when you engage prayer. So the life of prayer is a key to the door of living an effective life. The life of prayer. When you say you want to live a wonderful life that is sponsored by a wonderful result, one of the things you will find in that life is prayer. It's prayer. Because prayer would give you the ability to generate power. I don't know if we've read the one that talked about makes tremendous power available. I don't think we've read that. Okay, that's classic. Okay, don't worry, don't go there. So I said that the life of prayer is a key. So if there's a door in front of you, and that door, they labeled it a life that works, your access to it is prayer. I always tell people that it's not all lives that are working. Yeah. I like it in when I say it in Yoruba, life and when you're lulujutu. Like things are looking like it. The same adventure you are going on, some people are going on the same adventure and it's not looking like it. So when people see that there's a great opportunity in front of them, there's an opportunity to live a better life, one of your access key to that door is prayer, is the life of prayer. I wouldn't necessarily say it is one prayer or two prayers. It is a life of prayer. A life of prayer brings you to the door and to gain access into an effective life. See, if anything is not working and you've not prayed about it, you are joking. Even what works, we pray for it. I mean, what is working? But if something is ineffective, and you've not employed prayers, you are joking. Hallelujah. So as much as prayer, a life of prayer, is a key to an effective life, prayerlessness is also another key. Yeah, it's a key to another door. And that door, what they wrote on it is, this place is a dry land. Because in a dry land, you can do almost the same thing anybody would do in a fallow ground, but you won't produce results. That's actually the typification of a dry land. A dry land, when he says, is the one that puts solitary in families and causes them to prosper, but the one that is not wanting to be joined to a family is kept in a dry land. Now, he's saying that person is in a place where things cannot work. So even if the person invests as much as those that God has caused them to prosper, it won't produce anything. So prayerlessness is also like that. Prayerlessness is you saying that, God, I don't need you. I can employ all the tactics that I have myself, but I can guarantee you that the door you are gaining access to is called dry land. It's a place where everybody will see you labor. That's where men say they are hustling. Because there you will see more of your sweat than grace. You know, one of the lives I've chosen to live is a life that my own input would never be greater than my output. My input, meaning what I did, would never be greater than what came out of the process. Because I know that it's God that makes it to increase, not me. So that's what prayerlessness does. A life of prayerlessness is, it gives you constant access to a dry land. You know, you will see every other person do the same thing that you're doing and it's working. You know, I remember there was an instruction God gave me some years back, a particular investment. And I even had it first as a dream and as an instruction after the dream. And it was like, Lauri, if you do this investment, every other person that you know that does this kind of investment, they will, it will work for them. If they even give you money that, please help us do this investment for us, it will work for them. But you, if you put your money to do that investment, one error will not come out. Now, it will be stupid of me to still go and do it. I will be experiencing dry land. My wife will be seeing that my face is hard. Yeah, because that's also one of the fruits of dry land. Your face is always hard. The land that is nourished, you'll be cheerful, you'll be joyful. But dry land, your face will be hard. Because things are hard. Your face will be hard, it will be strong. Your things are not working. So that's what prayerlessness does. The person is not going to enjoy anything called effectiveness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I will just run through some of the notes I have here. But please just follow me. What we are looking at is, we can achieve much with God. We can have results if we don't pray. If you don't pray, let me even start from there. I mean, you know, the reason why we believe so much in what the visions God has given us as a church is because we pray. So the beautiful dreams that you have, that God has shown to you, would only be possible if it is backed by a life of prayer. Like I said, anything you've not prayed about, you are kidding if you're expecting things to turn out well. You're not being sincere with yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. So if your life would work, you know, if your life would respond to the demands and the blessings of God, you have to pray. Because prayer in itself puts your heart in a position where it can respond to God, either God's demand or respond to God's blessings. So it must be that you are a man of prayer. That is why you can respond to God. If God says, do this, you can respond because you've heard him in the place of prayer. If he says you are blessed, it's because you've heard him in the place of prayer. You can only respond to God, whether it's his demands, his dealings, or his blessings, when you pray. Hallelujah. You know, the life of prayer takes you from being just an observer or just one who passes criticism. You are somebody who brings change. You know, those two things are very cheap, to observe and to bring criticism. The only people that we are interested in is the people that can pray. That's why when you're going on village outreach, if you know that there's somebody there that cannot pray, even if the person will be in the kitchen, don't take the person. If the person is just going to be observing and criticizing, it will be the inroad of the enemy. So don't take the person. Or somebody may be who is naive. He just is an idol. He's touching the head. He's just rubbing the head. I gonna. So the life of prayer takes us from being an observer and someone who is... See, if you pray, you won't criticize. Yeah. If you pray, you won't... See, you've not prayed for Nigeria so much. If you have, you won't... See, you would even be crying for the people that criticize. Because the things God has shown to you, he has not shown it to them. If you pray about anything, your ability to criticize becomes so not there. Yeah. You can't criticize. You can't criticize anything you've prayed well enough for. Like, you just see yourself being unrighteous. It's like your mouth is now two. So if you've prayed enough for your life, you can't criticize it. You can't say your life is hard. Because you speak more to what would work or what God has told you about that life. Same also is, see, if a pastor is angry with his members, well, he's not praying for his members. So you can't criticize what you've prayed for. You know, look, take a stock of your life. Take a stock of what you don't like that you are complaining about. You will see that you are not praying enough about those things. Because one of the things prayer does to you, it gives you a picture of the end of that matter while that issue is still on. Hallelujah. This time is not even joking. He's effective. He's just doing his own work. And I'm not Joshua. So when you pray, you have the ability to bring change. When you're suffering, when you pray, you know that there's power to take that suffering away. That's the change you can bring. The elders can bring change when they pray by faith and the sick will be healed. They won't just see the sick. Ah, so this is your own sickness. It has not even gone to cancer stage 4. Ah, yeah. You just observe and criticize. That's the symptom of powerlessness. When you don't have power, you can only observe and criticize. When you don't have power, you can't do much. But when you have power, you tell everybody shifts. You know, that's what happened. That damsel, they were all wailing. They were all crying. Even the case of Lazarus. But when Jesus, the one that has power, he knows how to order things. Say, please, leave the room. Leave the room. Because he has the power to bring change. I would even say to you, if the level of observation and criticism is too high, that is distracting you, that can bring change, you can send it away. You can say, please, can every one of you, can you leave the room? Or let's assume maybe there's one of the elders, he's part of the elder, but he likes to criticize. We'll tell him not to come. We'll give him the report. Because we know that this is our only way to produce power. We don't have another, or do you guys have another thing? We don't have another thing. The only way we know how to heal the sick is when we pray for the sick. The only way we know how to see and remove long-standing issues is only by prayer. If anybody comes to you and says, I'm having this issue, first ask, have you prayed about it? If you are handicapped, if the person that has the problem has not even prayed about it. Now, you can say, I've prayed about it, but I want you to pray with me or pray along with me or pray for me. It becomes useful then. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to quickly look at four pillars of the life of prayer. But before then, I want to say to us that everything that is a problem has a melting point. You know, this is where I want to provoke us to pray. You know, when God told me this, I didn't see that anything can stand again at the sight of its required prayer. You know, everything melts at a certain temperature. Everything, like there's nothing that does not have its own. You know, we studied melting points. Yeah. Everything has its own melting point. You've not prayed as much. Yeah, I'm saying it that you've not prayed as much because the things that ought to go should go once you've prayed about them. You know, under the right temperature of that prayer, that thing will melt. See, addictions. You know, they always say, that, oh, you learned addiction. Anything you practice for maybe consecutive or 40 days becomes an habit. So before you can unwind it, you have to unpractice it for another 40 days. Now, that's sociology. Yeah. You get it? See, every addiction has a melting point. See, even the one that has smoked Colorado to the point where it has tampered with the design of his brain. You know, because they said those things happen when, because those habits themselves, even habits that are not necessarily tied to maybe smoking or whatever, they have a way it's shaping your brain. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I tell you that, see, when they say that the prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, he's saying that anything that should not stand under its right temperature, it will melt. It will melt. It will melt. Stronghold to troubles that came from. Everything will melt under the right temperature. You've not waited so long. Yeah, you just prayed once, you left. Some of us, we used another place we will read where you say, oh, don't pray repetitive prayer. We use it to chicken ourselves out of our victory. Yeah, as long as, see, when it matter, when God says, I don't like this issue, as long as that thing is still there, he's meant to live. Some of us, we've used Paul's scripture to ratify his establishment. It's a thorn in my flesh. No. Let God tell you it's a turn. Yeah. Don't tell yourself it's a turn. Don't sing shoo. There's no turn. He didn't put a turn in. Don't ratify anything that is not what God has said is not. Everything will melt. Yeah. See, you have to know the kind of God you serve. Everything. See, under the right atmosphere, under the right prayer, everything will melt. So don't live a life that gives up when things are telling you that they are a stronghold. You prayed for it once, it didn't shake. You prayed for it, yeah. At times, that's how praying for the sick also works. Because you might pray once, you might not, nothing might happen. You know, what I would even say is anything you've identified as an opposition that prevents you from living an effective life, put the right type of prayer to it. Put the right kind of prayer to it. It's just a matter of the prayer. Your child is not doing, is doing one kind, is doing, put it under the right prayer. You know, how many of you have watched that movie, War? Is it War? When they put that marriage under the right prayer, the marriage worked. The marriage what? Worked. You might think those issues can't change. You visit them and put it under the right temperature. It will melt. And I say to you, all those issues will melt. It will go away. Yeah, it will. It will go. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Because we know that power is produced when we pray fervently. The effective fervent prayer. You've not prayed much. When you pray, you know you should receive. Yeah. At times you say, God, as regards this issue. Like, you know the issue. It's not like all the problems in my life go, all the problems in my life go. No. God, as regards this issue. Even Paul got his own vindication after he prayed about the issue. You've not prayed about the issue. You said it's a thorn. Who told your body that? Yeah. Because nothing meaningful will come out of our lives until we engage in a life of prayer. Yeah. We like a lot of things. We observe. We like the good life people live. But it wouldn't be us until we've prayed about it. Hallelujah. So I said, let's quickly look at four major pillars of a life of prayer. Number one is sincerity. Coming to God as you are, sincerity. Number two is brokenness or a contrite heart. Now, the difference between brokenness and sincerity. Brokenness is, God, this is me. Now, a lot of people are not engaging sincerity in the way they should engage sincerity. Let's look at Matthew. Let's look at the story of, there are three stories we can look at, but let's look at first Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 from verse 9, quickly. Sincerity. See, David knew that if he doesn't tell God that God should search the deepest part of his heart, he knows God can see, God knows the deepest part of his heart. But owning up to say that, God, this is my heart, is an act of sincerity. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, that this insincerity. And despised others. So then he gave this illustration. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Like, who does this? Like, he didn't come to God. He brought other men to God. He didn't come to God. He says, I'm not like the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, or even this tax collector. So he didn't come to God that day. So you can see that the insincere would never appear. Even though if he prayed, God did not see him. See, sincerity, folks. I will show us also where Jesus, our Jesus, when he was, there was a place that they showed us him praying sincerely in Gethsemane. There's something, I don't know, I taught somebody before, but there's something called the power of a sincere prayer. You appear before God. It's like you, that's where you bring, that's the only thing that can bring your heart before God. See, immediately you wear one garment. We wear one garment. Even when we do congregational prayer, if you're, let's imagine maybe last week, the way you were praying was like this. And something has happened Wednesday. That Sunday, don't do that. Say, God, you know what we did on Wednesday? Help me. But if you just say, you know, they know I'm the one that scream most, so I have to start screaming. You will not appear. Like, they don't have a record of that prayer. See, the angels that come to gather the bowls, that bring the bowls to gather the prayers of the saints, your prayer was not there. Yeah, there's an angel like that. He gathers the what? Because you always try to wonder, how does your prayer get to heaven? They said he will gather the prayer of the saints and he will take it to the Father. When you're not sincere, your prayer was not there. Since I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust. At least put yourself to there. Let's go on. He says, I fast twice a week. See, the interesting thing is, we don't say this, but it's a disposition. We don't say this, but it's a disposition. It's what, you know, at times you say, I want to pray now. Many are praying from a disposition. I give tithe of all that I possess. This guy did not appear before God. He says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, this is who he is. And that's sincerity. Now, sincerity is different from brokenness. I'll tell us where it's different. Because you can be sincere and not broken. You can say, God, I'm stubborn. Yeah, that's sincere and not broken. God, I'm a sinner. Uh-huh. You know something? When you come, you know at times, we always think when we tell the sinner guy in church, you know that sinner that is in church here? You are going to, I'm a sinner. Yeah, that one is sincere. But it's not broken. So brokenness is his response to God. Sincerity is his response to his conscience. Yeah. Sincerity is you looking at conscience. Because we all have conscience, every one of us. You know, when he says, every man that cometh into this world, he lights them. He's giving every man conscience. That's what you can speak to, and a man can still respond. And then the spirit can come alive. So when he's not sincere, he is a dead conscience. He's searing his conscience with hot iron. That's sincerity. But brokenness is that he's not responding to God. So when you tell a man his fault, he says, Yeah, my conscience even told me last night. Yeah, that one is since he knows where he is. Yeah, a lot of people know where they are. Now, a lot of people deny where they are. So if you deny where you are, you don't even have the first entrance into life of prayer. When you deny your conscience is telling you, this thing you are doing is not good. This thing you are doing is not sound. Because it says, the one that is contrite is the one that trembles at his word. So that one, he has responded to God. Because the second pillar is brokenness. Because the reason why that prayer would get an answer is that it has gotten a word from God. So effective prayer is not that you prayed effectively. No. Effective prayer is that you prayed, he heard, and he responded. That's like the body of prayer. It's not like when you say push until something happens, another thing I would say push, push, push. How many of you do push? You should be pushing, oh. You are praying until something. No H. You'll be pushing, right? Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Now that thing is not just praying to the point you are sweating, and then you have like a release. No. Is that he's heard, he heard it, and he responded, he spoke about that issue. That's what has made it an answered prayer. Now, it's not that it's now manifesting. You know that one is an effect. It's like cause and effect. It's the effect of God has now looked at the issue and spoken to the issue. Then the effect of that is that it's now being made manifest. So being made manifest is not the answer to the prayer. It's that it's his word that he spoke to that issue. That is the answer to the prayer. So the man that is broken is the one that has now heard and is trembling. Hey, see, this is what God spoke about my heart. Maybe for example, you're praying, God, help my heart. Help my heart. Help this lost. Help this lost. Then God has now spoken to you. Now that's, you now responding to that word is what has birthed brokenness in you. So I said the first thing that you must do as a child of God is you must be sincere. Be sincere. Don't create a caricature of who you are not. Even if they've called you Preyo from Primary 1. Preyo. You know you are not Preyo. You know how you roll like 15 times to say thank you, Jesus. So don't wear the garment men give to you. No, don't wear it. Say, God, this is me. This is me. That's what that guy. He said, this is me. Now, whatsoever that me is, because you might not need to. It's not a dog. You say, God, we are sinners. No. That's not what he's saying. He was able to identify who he is. So it's not that he mentioned that I am a sinner. That's why he was better. No, it was that he was able to identify his state. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's also a kind of theology that will say, you must always say that we are sinners. We don't know what we are doing. Our head is not correct. You are the only true God. No. If you're always saying like that, you're not a responsible child. You're like, come here with God, I've broken the plate. God, which plate will you not break? Every day, God, I've done it again. There's one Jamon song that I don't really like. I've done it again. Remorseful I stand. Me again. The only time I sing it is that time. I don't got me singing that one every time. That's not my lot in Christ. Forgive me, Lord. It's me again. He wants to knee. That's what it means. It's me again. He wants to knee again. So after a while, I was not singing that. It's not song that you'll be singing all the time. No. I said, Jamos, Emako. Don't spoil our market. So, but it's when I'm going to, when that one happened, like, I'm here again. And then you ask, Otishe, mom, I'm Otishe. So he's not saying, I'm a sinner. No, that's not the doctrine. The doctrine or the teaching, not the doctrine, the teaching there is that identifying who you are. You talk to yourself before God talks to you. That's being sincere. Being broken is now God has now spoken to you and you can respond to God. The third pillar of the life of prayer is truth. Truth. See, there was a day in the family house then, and NCC ever know. There was a guy, he usually prays, I think from maybe 12 to about 2. I mean like fervent prayer. I mean like even we that were pray you, say, this one, this is a real prayer. Because they put me beside the door. They said, pray you sleep beside the door because it's the demon destroyer. I said, is it demons don't come through window? But they say, that's very funny. So I sleep beside the door. See? And the door, it's not the gate of the house. It's just one place upstairs beside there. Maybe it's Papa that is using me to protect himself. Because it's before the door of Papa. Maybe that's the real door that prayer needs to sleep. So I usually sleep beside the door. But this guy also sleeps at the adjacent, the other side of the door. So I know when he's praying. So he prays a lot. I'm like, oh my goodness, I like this. We now found out that the guy does not have Holy Spirit. Ha! That thing, it was like, I don't even know how to describe. It's like you are putting in a lot of effort into something that will never produce anything. How when I say it grieved me how to, because me, I can't even pray that number of hours yet. But he was praying that much. So I sat him down one day. And I said, can you pray? Papa, what do you pray? No? He said, does not have the Holy Spirit. I said, I said, we must fix this one. So we now, both of us, we went to the library downstairs. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, subsequently, he's now praying with the Holy Ghost. And I know he's getting results. Now, the truth that the Holy Spirit is the one that would guide us into all truth is what he didn't know. So he thought he would guide himself. You know, I will pray as much as I can. I will pray. He would usually sweat most times. I've never seen him pray that not he not sweating. But the core foundation of where the Holy Spirit sits is not, it's not there. So truth. Because if you're praying, to pray amiss is not to pray in truth. So he says, when you pray amiss, you will not receive, you won't receive anything. When you pray amiss, it means there's the truth, but you've not prayed according to the truth. Either is the truth of God's word, or either the truth of the voice of God. So meaning, what did the word of God say about this thing? Or what did God say to you about this thing? So, for example, if you take a matter to God, and God says, this is not the issue. Now, that doesn't justify that it will get an answer or it will be answered because you are denying the truth. Oh, what did the word of God say about an unbeliever? That you want? Now, imagine praying that God, help me marry this guy. Help me marry this guy. You are denying the truth that says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You are denying that truth. And then you are saying, God, you know I love this guy. Yeah, you are sincere. But your unbrokenness is not making you respond to truth. The truth of God's word. You are not responding to it. Then the last one is faith. Bible says, if anyone would come to him, he must come believing that he is a rewarder of those who what diligently seek him. Let's look at Hebrews. I think Hebrews chapter 6. No, 11, sorry. Chapter 11, verse 6. Where it was talking about faith. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you pray in faith. That's why it says, when we pray, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that he grants our petition. That's faith. So when you pray, know that he hears you. Now you'll be doing yourself a disfavor, praying and thinking that he's not hearing you. Bible says his ears are not heavy to hear you. Neither his hands too short to save. It says, but it's our iniquities that are what separated us from what? From him. So we know that he hears. We know that he is ready to save. So many a times before you pray, you know that he knows what the issue is. That's faith. You believe that he answers prayers. So if you don't believe that he answers prayers, then you don't have faith to engage in the life of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's quickly look at Matthew chapter 26. We'll read from 34. And if there's no time, we'll just stop here. I think we're starting from verse 36. Yeah. So Jesus said to him, then we'll go to Matthew 6. I think it's really Matthew 6 I want to read, but let's read this. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called what? Gethsemane. And said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over. Now, there are many instances where Jesus took time to pray. Many instances. At times, you just hear, the guy just checked out. He went to go and pray. You know, we don't have time. We can't read. There are about four different scriptures that would always refer to the point where he would just leave the scene and he would go to the mount to go pray. Now, it says, and he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. We know that those are what? James and what? And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Now, many of us, if we're Jesus, will not admit this. Because the complex that we didn't keep thinking I'm the savior of the world when I'm extremely sorrowful. Even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Yeah, I like that thing, watch with me. It says a lot. Someone that can also see, say, please, brother, pray for me. See, if you've never said that thing before, it's a healthy thing to say as a child of God. Please pray for me. Not, do you want me to pray for you? You want me? No, you are not a machine. You are not praying machine. No. Anybody with prayer points? Yeah, I always tell people, see, you are not El Shaddai. Yeah. You will see some prayer points, you say, I don't bear. Yeah, you're not El Shaddai. If God does not lead your heart to him, don't say, where are the prayer points? Where? No. But the one that is encouraged, pray for me. You guys, pray with me. No, I'm doing this thing, pray with me. Then he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, now you can see a lot of things here. He was sincere with where he is. But he says, nevertheless, not my will. That's brokenness and truth. Because that's what God wants him to do. He says, nevertheless, not my will. But let it be your will. But as per where my heart is, I'm extremely depressed. I'm extremely sorrowful. And Bible says, angels came to what? To strengthen him, to minister to him. So you can see that even our Lord Jesus, he typified this pattern of sincerity, brokenness, truth, and faith. Knowing that, he is the one that is able to save my soul, even prevent me from seeing corruption. He knows that he has faith that if this guy kills me, he will raise me up. Yes. Hallelujah. Everything melts under the right temperature. It's when you change your disposition about prayer, you start seeing working. Until you do that, don't do it as a nominal activity. So that when they ask, have you prayed today? You can say yes or no. No. It's that you know it is one of the viable means of transaction that heaven acknowledges. That when you step to say you want to pray, heaven and hell knows a change will be brought to effect. Yeah, let it be. That's what comes to the environment and to the atmosphere. That when you pray, John always says something. He says, give me Scotland. Else like that. They know that if this guy, maybe the thing they could have done, maybe to cut his mouth. Because they knew that if, I'm not too sure, but they said that the Queen of England would say, if I want to go to war, just give me maybe 10 or 20 John Hawks. Better than maybe 1 million soldiers. Yeah, because they know that when he prays, heaven hears him. Yeah, and we are such people that when we pray, things are bound to change. Yeah, go with that mindset when you pray. Put yourself in the right positions. You are sincere. You are not cracking jokes. You are not saying the things that heaven and hell are just laughing. Who is this one? No, you are sincere with yourself. You are saying, God, this is where I am. This is where I am. If the conversation needs to start from somewhere else, let it start from there. But this is where I am. And you're broken. You are broken responding to the truth of God. And then you are engaging God by faith. Can we give God praise? Let's just thank God. Let's respond to God in prayers.